Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a beautiful Monday afternoon. Listen, we're in dipper number one. I'm telling this for the kids. What better thing to do something for than for the kids? And I was, somebody that I met a while back who happens to be the niece of a good friend of mine, which I didn't even realize at first when you and I first met, I believe. But Malia Stevens is here. She's been on the show once before. We've also interacted here, there, and the other on like gatherings about the same topic we're about to be on now. But Malia Stevens is a licensed counselor with Wellspring Christian Clinic in Birmingham. She's got her BA in Development and Family Studies from Sanford. She also has a master's in Marriage and Family Therapy from Abilene Christian. And she has an amazing practice, but she's also on the national level even. She's on the board of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. They call themselves NCOSE, which is a whole lot easier to say. Welcome to the Right Side studio, Malia.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's a joy to be with you.
I think last time you were on the show, you called in, which was...
I did.
Yeah.
We were juggling a lot at that time, so I couldn't quite make it to Gadsden.
But well, this is
more fun.
You're an absolute Right Side ruffian, so you're having a t-shirt before you leave here,
all
okay?
Right.
All right,
yay,
good deal.
I'll wear it.
Well, so listen, the stuff that I'm talking about right now, I said earlier, and we'll talk about legislation in a minute, but I said earlier that sometimes they say politics flows downstream from culture. But I believe that sometimes politics also has to dam the tide. And this is one of them. If you don't mind, just for a minute, talk about why you do what you do and give us some stats or figures about the things that make you do what you do.
Sure, certainly. So as you mentioned, I'm a marriage and family therapist. And since I was very young, I knew I cared about families and I wanted to see families strengthened. And I've always had a heart for that and for marriages. And as I got into that field over the years, like even as in grad school, one of the issues that was presented to me very early on working with couples and with individuals was pornography and its impact to individuals and families. It just seemed to be a theme that I kept hearing, you know, having to confront. And then as I got into private practice, really between the years of 2009 to 2011, families brought in young children to me who were addicted to pornography, boys and girls ages 6 to 11. And that was extremely alarming to me. And these kids were acting out compulsively after exposure to pornography, after one or two exposures. And I was just seeing how highly addictive it was and how it was so damaging to the children. And then also at the same time, I was working with survivors of sex trafficking, a man and two women. And two of those individuals had been forced to create pornography against their will. And so my mind was opening up to the intersectionality of all forms of sexual exploitation, started doing research and was just so in shock and concern for families and realizing we've really got to raise awareness for parents and help them get equipped to stand in the gap for their kids and stop this before these kids have their future hijacked by pornography, because that's what was happening.
I used to work as part of my really kind of weird and somewhat schizophrenic resume. I used to work for several years in an adolescent treatment center.
Oh, wow.
And I can't say that we dealt with kids per se on the basis of addiction to pornography, but we saw addictive behaviors. But we also saw a lot of kids, though, who had been sexually abused, because most of the time we had comorbidities in their analysis, and it would be something that you may be seeing them because of a drug addiction or a behavioral problem, but you found all the, and I can't tell you how many of them had an underlying abuse or an underlying misuse, if you will, by making them the subjects of something.
Exactly.
But people also don't realize to the extent that pornography can affect the mind.
Exactly.
It desensitizes.
It does. It actually affects the structure of the brain. It affects the pleasure pathway, just like an illicit drug, like heroin. It's compared to heroin oftentimes, or cocaine. And the way that you look at brain studies, it looks very similar in terms of the impact. And it creates this craving, this appetite that is never satisfied. It creates this escalation in behavior, and then it tends to shape people's sexual template so that they crave more depraved fetish type behavior oftentimes. And it's a lot of times people come into my office, females, for example, will come in and they'll say, I don't know why I want to do this type of behavior. And they'll be crying and they're like, I have this craving to do certain behavior that's really disgusting to me. But when you trace it back, it usually starts oftentimes with pornography, sometimes with sexual abuse or a combination of the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an amazing amount of stuff available to kids now. I mean, you know, I'm a granddad now, and I can just picture my beautiful grandkids, and I feel like, whereas I grew up in a world and I had problems as a kid, and I know I did. I mean, I was the one I was challenging for my parents. Let's put it that way. and there are times when I know that that God saved me because it was a good thing He did, or who knows telling where I'd be.
Right.
I actually, my mom sent me to live with my dad who was overseas. Mm-hmm. I like to say God gave me a 3-year timeout because it's what I needed.
That's good.
But that being said, I feel like there's so much more that's readily in the faces of our kids than mm-hmm. it ever was when I was growing up.
They're completely being bombarded at every level. Like we talk about the Chromebooks, for example, that are issued to kids, the school issued Chromebooks. Our organization, National Center on Sexual Exploitation, had to fight for years to just get Google to filter Chromebooks that are school issued. So all these kids were being handed these devices that were not filtered. Parents didn't realize it. Schools didn't know what to do. And then you have this massive amount of trouble that came up as a result. And just common sense things like that, where kids are being bombarded, even on school issued Chromebooks or at the library, everywhere you turn, it's an overwhelming job for parents.
Well, it is. I mean, parents bear some responsibility to do what they can to safeguard, obviously. But I think, and I don't want to do the whole, you know, it takes a village thing. I'm not doing that. But what I am saying, though, is that as a former legislator myself, I know there were times we had to pass laws to provide protections for those who couldn't necessarily be protected on their own or without the aid of us in the legislature. Mm-hmm. And so right now, I know that there's things happening on both the national and the state level. Alabama is just one of a number of states taking action on some things you and I will talk about. But we got to. I mean,
what's
amazing to me is how much the big tech porn platforms resist it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they fight it tooth and nail because they really don't want to give up that profit target, which is our children. And
profit target. Wow.
Yeah, it's a profit target. And they know if they can get kids hooked early, they're going to make more money off of them. That's really what it boils down to. And they admit it in some of these undercover investigations that have been done recently. They admit that that's really the bottom line is just money. And, you know, Alabama was the 16th state in 2020 to pass a resolution declaring pornography a public health crisis.
Yeah.
So as you're saying, you know, we've acknowledged that our government has to get involved. This is beyond what an individual can do to protect themselves. Like we have to step in and make sure our obscenity laws are being upheld to protect all of our citizens, but especially our children.
I wrote an op-ed based off of a monologue I had done a couple of weeks ago that came out just this morning, and it's called Joe Camel and the Drag Queens.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if you remember this or not, but like in my lifetime, I have watched Congress get involved and the Federal Trade Commission get involved simply because a cigarette brand had a cartoon character that made cigarettes look popular and cool to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they found in their own internal memos during the discovery phase of the lawsuits that, oh, by the way, they actually had targeted kids because they were a profit target.
Right.
And so everything changed and the laws were changed and the legislative process and the regulatory aspects of the federal government came down hard on R.J. Reynolds Tobacco and Joe Camel went away.
Wow.
And yet today there is, I almost wish that Joe Camel was the only problem we had right now.
Oh, wouldn't it be simple?
It would be far, far simpler. You got stuff right now. I know NCOSI, if you don't mind, talk about who NCOSI is before we go to the break.
For sure. It stands for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. We've been around since the 60s, actually, fighting pornography. And it was started with a commission and it was very involved in things during the Reagan and Bush administration as well. But we rebranded ourselves. We used to be called Morality and Media, but we've been National Center on Sexual Exploitation in recent years because we are at the tip of the spear of fighting all forms of sexual exploitation globally. We are a big coalition of people from all over the world, from the right and left, who care about issues of sexual exploitation, from pornography to sex trafficking and everything in between. So we'd love for people to learn more if they want to go to insexualexploitation.org.
Insexualexploitation.org. Okay. Listen, we're going to come back from this break here. We're already there, believe it or not.
Okay.
That was fast. We're going to come back from this break and talk about something that's currently going through the legislative process in Alabama that seems like way too simple. Why don't we already do it?
Exactly.
All right. We're in studio right now with Malia Stevens from Wellspring Christian Clinic, who, by the way, is a national advocate on the topics at hand. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, we're right back in studio right now with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic, and she's also, by the way, on the national board of NCOSE, which stands for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So there's, first of all, let me just say this, smartphones and Chromebooks, have mercy at the Pandora's box each one of those contains. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, so my daughter, who's grown now, my daughter, who's in her early 30s, years ago, had to do her like her annual report on some big aspect of politics. She chose to do it on the White House.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know exactly where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. She went to whitehouse.org or
yes.
.gov or something, which is a porn site.
Yeah, .gov is the correct one. And she just did .com, I think, and had no idea. Mm-hmm. Shocked her, upset her. And it's because, and they will not only, they'll not only embed themselves in places and lure kids in, sometimes they'll do things knowing full well what the search engine is going to create.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter literally went to a porn site thinking she was going to our national capital, the White House.
Mm-hmm. It's despicable, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do that with like Disney or Nickelodeon. If you misspelled those, you know, children don't know how to spell that when they're little. So they'll look up Nickelodeon and any misspelling would take you to a hardcore porn site.
God.
Things like that. And they'll splice pornographic cartoons in the middle of kids' cartoons on kids' YouTube. They'll take Disney characters and turn them into graphic pornography. They know exactly what they're doing to target children and to strip their innocence, you know?
Well, yeah. Makes vigilantism look pretty good, to be honest.
Fortunately, we have better means to go after him. Yeah.
Okay. So you say, well, one of those better means, though, is House Bill 167. Mm-hmm. So right now, everybody in the world carries a smart device. I mean, I've got mine sitting right here on the desk. And yet most people have no idea. I didn't until the first time you and I talked about this, mm-hmm. that there is actually a from the factory means of filtering that stuff out.
Exactly.
And yet parents don't even know it's there. So talk about House Bill 167 and what it does.
Yeah, for sure. It's called the Alabama Children's Device Protection Bill. And it's our main sponsor is Representative Chris Sells. He's worked really hard on this issue for several years. Yeah, he really cares about protecting kids in this area. And in the Senate, we have Senator Clyde Chambliss.
Also a good guy.
Yes, absolutely. And we're super excited about this bill because, you know, you hear the words no-brainer all the time. But if it could be a no-brainer bill, this would be it because we know that children are 47% of the time young children are exposed to pornography accidentally. They stumble on it on a smartphone or a tablet. But smartphones and tablets already have filtering software on or in the device itself. So all we're doing with this bill is requiring manufacturers, which there's just three companies, Amazon, Google, and Apple, to do a software update and turn on the existing filters so that children are automatically protected from hardcore, violent, degrading content online. And it's a simple software update, and it would be statewide on any device issued to minors in the state of Alabama once it goes into effect. Adults can turn the filters off if they want to with a password, but children would be automatically, you know, have that layer of protection. And it's got a lot of support, bipartisan support. It passed 98-0 in the House a couple of weeks ago. We know we'll have good bipartisan support in the Senate if we can just get it moving in the Senate.
98-0.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to point out that there's only 105 members of the House, so all but seven voted, mm-hmm. and it passed 98-0. That means it was completely bipartisan, like unabashedly bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
You could pass a bill that says, "Do you love your mama?" and it would not have gotten 98-0.
Exactly. It was beautiful, and we had 63 bipartisan co-sponsors as well.
You're not only in the no-brainer category in terms of what it does, but you're in no-brainer in terms of politics.
You would think so, but we do have some opposition. We have to fight big tech, the porn industry. They lobby against us and come behind other organizations sometimes. And we often have telecommunications companies showing up at the hearings fighting us, but our bill explicitly states that telecommunications companies are not held liable. This has zero to do with AT&T, Verizon, retail shops, things like that. But for whatever reason, we see them at our hearings.
And what boggles my mind is they'll talk about it being oppressive to their industry, and they'll talk about it somehow violating a First Amendment right of some type. And they'll look for ways to argue that you're unconstitutional in the presentation. Mm-hmm. But this one has already met muster in terms of its constitutionality.
It's got Supreme Court backing. There's been two rulings that said from the Supreme Court, if you're going to protect kids, you should do it at the filtering level. Those are two very strong rulings. So we know it's going to stand up in court. We know it's got that kind of backing. And that's one reason they really fight us so hard, is because they know they can't overturn it once it gets passed and becomes law.
But, you know, it goes back to what it really boils down to is those kids are, what'd you call them earlier?
A profit target.
A profit target.
And a data target, too. They don't want to give up the data that they could collect as well. But, yeah, they're a profit target.
So it's right now, House Bill 167 is already passed the House. It's been transmitted to the Senate. Mm-hmm. It's been assigned to Senator Fred. Garland Gudger's committee mm-hmm. on FRED, which I founded FRED. I used to be the chairman of FRED.
That's so cool.
FRED stands for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. So you're now in FRED. It's awaiting committee action right now?
We will hopefully have a hearing next week is what they're saying.
Whew, we're getting close.
We're getting really close. We need it to happen quick.
This is all right. I hope all y'all are listening. And I know I've got a bunch of right side ruffians out there who don't mind calling your legislator. For that matter, call other legislators. It doesn't matter whether you live in their district. But right now, Senator Garland Gudger needs to get that thing on his agenda. And by the way, that's this listening area. Coleman, we blanket Coleman. We have a lot of Coleman listeners.
Oh, yeah, that would be wonderful.
And so absolutely call Senator Gudger's office and let him know.
And also President Pro Tem Reed, if they wouldn't
from
mind.
Jasper.
From Jasper as well. That would be wonderful to have that he would know that the constituents really want to see this passed. I speak all over the state. Parents, grandparents, everybody from the right and left really want to see this happen. And I think we need to let them know that we do care about it, and we care about it more than the lobbyists do.
Yeah. Well, there's some of that great classic rock music you told us you liked coming on.
That means
we're going to take a break right now. We're in studio right now with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Common sense, man. It's no-brainers. Take care of our kids. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the world. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're back right now in studio with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic and also with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
In fact, I'll precede the question with a quick story. So a good friend of mine, Emily Jones, who heads up Moms for Liberty in Madison, she came on the show talking about how she had discovered some things on her child's Chromebook. And it was her child's school-issued Chromebook. It was an app of some type. And I've forgotten the name of it now. It'll come back to me later. But she said that she had begun doing some research about what this app's capabilities were.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered her to think that it might have access, and she thought, surely not. Well, lo and behold, she used her child's app on her child's school-issued Chromebook and went to places that she didn't ever want her child to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing was, what she also told me too, was this app is designed to only be allowed to have access during school hours.
Ooh.
So in other words, parents aren't normally going to be able to even see it, but it was a day when her child had to stay home, and so she got in.
Wow.
And so she just recently made it known to the school superintendent, who, after he reviewed it, said, we're done with that. And so, to his credit, he said that they had canceled the contract with the progenitors of that app.
Wow, you have to admire that superintendent and that mom.
And that mom.
Absolutely. We see that a lot. You know, we have this thing called the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Every year we name and shame the 12 main promoters of sexual
name
exploitation.
Name and shame them.
Yeah, and it's pretty powerful. We've changed a lot of corporate structure, and anyway, several years, we had EBSCO, of all things, because they had school-based databases that were library databases, and they had one that was for kids and one that was for parents, and parents couldn't access the one to kids. And early on, when you would go to seventh grade database and you typed in biology, it took you straight to hardcore BDSM porn.
Oh my gosh.
Stuff like that. It was rife with hardcore porn throughout the database, and it said on their website, age appropriate material, which it was not. And so anyway, I can understand how alarmed she was, and I'm so glad she took up that issue and addressed it.
Well, let's talk about parents then for a minute, because mm-hmm. I do agree with your legislation, and I think we need to see HB 167 pass.
Right.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer. But then parents, that mom checking the Chromebook, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see parents needing to check these devices. You have no idea.
Right.
You can also check your child's search history on their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
And there shouldn't be a household in which a child is allowed to say, you can't have access to my phone.
Exactly. No. That's not a boundary that's acceptable.
No. No. I like the way you put the clinical expressions upon it. I'm just going to say it's darn wrong.
It is wrong.
But you've got other resources, and I know you talked about some books that you've been a real proponent of. Tell me about those.
Yeah, I've got some of my favorite resources that I tell parents about. There's a great book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and it helps inoculate your child from the inside out. And it's a read-along book. They've got a junior version for 0 to 6 and then a book for 7 to 12 years old. And it really helps your kids understand what pornography is going to be when they're exposed to it, because we say it's not if they're exposed, it's when. So they have like a plan of action, and it really helps not only address pornography but other addictions. And parents are always scared to read it, but once they read it for themselves, they're like, oh no, this is actually really safe, it's appropriate. And it has been so effective with kids for them to immediately say, that's inappropriate material, I don't want that in my brain, and then they feel comfortable talking to adults, and it opens up lines of communication. So I highly recommend Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It's at defendyoungminds.org. Then there's a great resource if parents need tech support, knowing how to really protect their family based on what their needs are, called protectyoungeyes.org.
Yes.
And you had Chris McKenna,
that
founder, on your show. He's fabulous, and they have excellent advice on how to set up everything for pretty much every device you can think of on his website, protectyoungeyes.org. And then lastly, if you have a kid that's 12 to 22 or 24, there's a group called Fight the New Drug that makes it really cool to be a fighter against pornography and sexual exploitation. And they have fabulous resources to help educate your teens, and also to help them if they have been exposed to pornography and they've developed some compulsive behavior. It's a good resource. They've got Fortify, which is an online recovery group. But if your child has been exposed and you need help as well, don't be afraid to reach out and get support from a mental health professional that understands sexual addiction.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's awkward. Let's just be honest. It's a topic that I don't even want to read out your bio on the air because it's awkward, just to say, but because you've got an amazing bio, and the things you're able to do with families go way beyond what we're talking about even right now. But that being said, I've often said that it is absolutely worth having 5 minutes of discomfort to save you 5 years of pain. And this is the kind of thing that you can talk to your kids about in advance, and no telling what you might be able to help forestall.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, there's this phenomenon right now with young men who go, they do okay in high school, they go off to college, and then they start to either fail out of class or not even go to class. And the parents are concerned what's happening. They can't figure it out. Well, there's been studies about young men who are getting addicted to pornography in college, and then they lose motivation, they lose focus, and they get really depressed. And so oftentimes, though, when the parents finally go to their son and say, son, is it this? Are you struggling with pornography addiction? They're so relieved that someone actually asked them and that they're helping pull them out of that darkness. Mm. So I do encourage parents of any, you know, with kids of any age, it is uncomfortable. But even if your kid is in denial or frustrated, just planting the seed very lovingly, non-shaming, like don't shame them, but because it's a common struggle right now and we're being bombarded with it. But just to let them know you love them, you support them, you'll walk alongside them in recovery and healing. Even if you struggle with it yourself, that does not negate you from being a resource and getting help for yourself and for them.
Well, let's talk about a few of those resources again to make sure the audience heard it. ProtectYoungEyes.org.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? ProtectYoungEyes.org. And then the book you mentioned was Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Yes.
And you said that's one they can actually read to their children?
Yeah, you read along with your child.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a section for if the dad wants to participate, too. There's actually a chapter just for dad. Mom can read all of it or whatever, whoever wants to. But it's really well done and tactful, and it's beautiful because it does open up lines of communication.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think you said something a moment ago, too, that we need to recognize. It's not if your child's going to be exposed to this stuff, it's when.
Exactly.
And I don't want to even minimize the times of in my era. It's a lot like you found, you know, the Playboy magazine that someone left out in the trash can behind the diner. You know, it's not. Mm-hmm. We're so far past that.
Right.
This stuff is pounding kids right now, Literally just piling on. And it's available just by the device they carry in their pocket.
Yeah, it's really stealing their childhood. It's affecting their development, and it's not fair. It's not fair to them to lose their innocence in their childhood and to have their childhood harmed in this way. We consider exposing a child to pornography as tantamount to child sexual abuse because of how it affects the brain and how it affects their behavior. And, you know, it is illegal in Alabama to expose a child to pornography, but we're doing that all the time.
Well, and I think you just said something, too, that I think the audience needs to hear. You know, sometimes we hear about this stuff and we think, San Francisco, or that other place somewhere else, or what they do in that big city. So you practice right here in Birmingham. You have a thriving daily practice. Am I right?
Yes, I do. And we have kids from really solid families. It's not like, I mean, these kids are not neglected. They're very involved parents that the kids are being harmed.
Well, all right. No brainer. Mm-hmm. HB 167, House Bill 167. The House has already done its gig, mm-hmm. And it has now gone on to the Senate.
Yes.
And we need that thing to pass.
We really do.
And I look at this as it's one of those things that every once in a while legislation comes along and you have to ask why. Why are we doing this? Why? This is one of those you ask why not.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think you get to the point sometimes where you realize that God opens doors and venues and makes available opportunities. And part of the prayer for me has become sometimes, why would I not? Because look, it's right there.
Right.
And that's the way I see HB 167. If I were still in the Senate, I'd be dying for this bill to get on the floor.
It's low-hanging fruit.
It's absolutely low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have an amazing job, and you do a lot of work. And this will be the second time you've been on this show. I suspect it's not the last.
Well, I hope not. This is so much fun. It really is. And we appreciate your support and help on all these important topics.
No, I appreciate it. And hopefully next time we talk, it'll be because the bill passed.
Amen.
All right. All right. You're listening to Malia Stevens, who is at Wellspring Christian Clinic. And let me just say, too, if you're out there and this is a topic that's awkward for you, but you know your family's dealing with it, you are not alone in this. And there are people like Malia who are trained and ready and available. And am I right in saying, too, that you can even insurance will cover the counseling and things a lot of times?
A lot of times it will. Our clinic is not insurance-based, but we do provide, you know, super bills. But there are many clinics that are, and there are a lot of certified sex addiction therapists around Birmingham because there's a big demand for that. And so if you look up CSAT, there's that. There's a lot of Christian clinics around Birmingham. There's fabulous resources. And, you know, if people want to call Wellspring, we can help get you connected with someone as well.
Yeah, Wellspring Christian Clinic is right there in Birmingham, and that's where Malia is. All right, you're an amazing person. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, well, blessings on you, and I look forward to hearing about HB 167. Everybody needs to call Senator Garland Gudger's office and get that bill on the next available agenda. And by the way, when you do, ask him if there's a public hearing to have a vote on the same day as the hearing. Don't do this, well, we're going to have a hearing this week, and maybe next week we'll actually vote on it, and then the next week we'll actually get it on the floor, because y'all, they're about out of time. They're literally out of time. Don't let it be one of those bills that just died because, oh, I don't know, we couldn't get around to it in time. Time. It's a precious commodity, too. All right, we're taking a break right now. Big Rig, take us to it, brother. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.